Welcome to another episode of The Wheat Prophet, a podcast where we explore all things wheat. The goal of this podcast is to provide Saskatchewan wheat producers with resources and information to increase profitability and sustainability on their farm. I will be interviewing experts in the field about current production issues and the latest wheat research. Welcome to the second episode of our joint podcast. I'm Haley from Sask Wheat and The Wheat Prophet podcast.
I'm Mitchell from Sask Barley and The Barley Bin podcast. Our guest today is Josh Lade, a farmer from Osler, Saskatchewan. He grew up in Australia, which gives him a unique perspective on herbicide resistance. Australia is becoming known for the challenges with herbicide resistant weeds.
In our first episode with Josh, we talked about herbicide resistant management on their farm, from Josh's experience in Australia and multiple practices Josh employs on his farm to manage weeds.
This episode, we're talking about the seed terminator and some trials Josh is working on with the seed terminator. Let's jump in and talk about harvest weed seed control.
Josh, welcome back to the second episode in our joint podcast of Sask Wheat's Wheat Prophet and Sask Barley's Barley Bin podcast. Thanks for taking the time to be here with us today.
No worries. Thanks for having me back, Hailey.
So for this episode, we're going to focus more on the seed terminator and some of Josh's on-farm trials. So throughout your battle with herbicide resistance on your farm, one of the tools that you've leaned on in the management of resistant wild oats and other wild oats on the farm is the seed terminator. Can you tell us a bit about the implement and describe how it works in weed management?
Yeah, so the seed terminator come out of Australia. It's a real simple attachment that just bolts on the back of many late model combines. All it's really doing is it's just collecting the chaff component that's being discharged out of the back of the combine before it hits the chopper. So we're just taking that chaff. We're not taking the straw. So generally the chaff component makes up, say, 20% of the material other than grain. So we're just grabbing that and then putting it through a multi-stage hammer mill and just literally turning it into flour. And that's basically it. It just takes about 50 to 70 horsepower off your combine. So it's a little bit of power, but that's the cost to kill weeds. You know, we're running a multi-stage hammer mill in the back of our harvester. So that doesn't happen for free. So that's it. Yeah. It's just a simple little attachment, back of the combine, collects the chaff and just pulverizes it into dust.
Thanks, Josh. Do you have a sense of how much that the machine is costing you per acre? You talked about the horsepower requirements for it. And I think I've heard you mention before that to figure it drops the combine by about a class. But how does it break down for operational costs and around the capital investment?
Yeah, for sure. So generally, yeah, that's what we say. It drops your combine by a class. So if you're running a class 8, you're probably back to a class 7. But in all honesty, I find that we're often limited by our sieving capacity and grain loss. So I often don't find it, you know, overloading the combine on a power front. Often it's just based around trying to sieve the grain out is what's slowing us down. So generally work on it, you know, going to cost you 50 to 70 horsepower worth of power. It uses roughly, I figure, around $1 an acre more fuel. It all depends. So the purchase price of these units are in that $100,000 range. And everyone freaks out when you say that. But when you actually figure this back to a per acre cost, for us, we're in that roughly 4,000 acres of combine. And in all honesty, we're not sucking in a lot of dust. We use flex headers. You know, if you eat a lot of dirt, you're going to wear the mills out. But for us, we're not. And we're getting some really good life out of our mill components. So, you know, I've done the numbers on this and on our farm over, you know, paying for these things over 5 years at a 3 or 4% interest rate. Honestly, it's in the neighborhood of around $6 to $7 an acre. And, you know, if I often joke that if this tool come in a chemical drum and I could just about guarantee you're going to get, let's just say, 50 to 80% of your weeds at harvest time, plus the volunteers, for $6 to $7 an acre, you'd buy it and put in your sprayer in a heartbeat. But you know, because it's big money on the back of your combine, it just doesn't seem to get any traction. But yeah, anyway, so we're in that on our farm, yeah, $5 to $7 an acre. It all depends on how many acres per combine you're kind of running and what sort of conditions you're in. But let's just say anywhere, you know, $5 to $7 an acre.
So does that $5 to $7 an acre, because you're obviously going to be using a bit more fuel, is that included in that price as well?
Yep, you bet. Yep. So $1 an acre for fuel, you know, a couple of dollars repairs and maintenance, maybe $1 in just maybe a little bit of reduced harvest efficiency, and the rest is just in the ownership cost. But then after that time, like, these things are built solid, you know, the framework's solid. You're just going to burn out mill components, which you can replace. Belts, just like any combine, you burn out belts on a regular combine. So I feel that, you know, I've been pretty aggressive on the payback and saying it's worth nothing at the end of the day, but there's still going to be some good residual value in there. So yeah, that's everything in, Haley, and I feel like that's pretty reasonable.
Exactly. Yeah. So this fall, you're going to have seed terminators on all of your combines. So you must have seen pretty large benefits from operating them. Can you talk about, you know, maybe the most successes you've seen from them?
Yeah. So we first started in 2018, and that first year we partnered up with CLC out of Prince Albert and got a little 1 acre trial spot going. So on that field there, we actually went to our weediest possible field that we could find and set up this little trial. And since 2018, we've been doing 2 strips with the seed terminator and 2 without. And I also like to add there that since the fall of 2018, we have not sprayed a single herbicide on that spot. Really wanted to just see what this seed terminator or harvest weed seed control could do on its own. And you could check the CLC data, but they've got some pretty positive results there on reducing weed populations in such a short time too. Like, let's not forget here, this is the weediest patch that I could find on our farm. Huge numbers of soil seed bank. Like, it's to me, I didn't think we're going to see any sort of difference in the first couple of years just because of the seed bank, right? And no herbicides. But honestly, when you go and look at it now, you can pick the 2 strips out where the terminator's gone. So I'm, yeah, just absolutely pumped with the way it's working on its own. And also, just because we're a 16,000 acre farm, and for the last 3 years we've basically had half the farm being terminated and half not, so we've got strip trials on every single field, and, you know, our field views mapping which combines which, and you go out there and you can pretty easy to tell where there's a bit of volunteer grain coming, and you know which combine that was, or where there's a few weeds on a patch here. And then you look over 2 runs over and think, well, there's half the population there. Why is that? Oh, yeah, that's a seed terminator run. So, yeah, the infield stuff is proven as far as I'm concerned. It's been proven in Australia. It's been proven over the world for 10 years or more. The issue that I had early days was just, how's this thing going to handle our tough conditions? And in the last 3 years, we've had everything. And this year we'll have a dry one, but this should be pretty easy to run the terminators this year by the looks. But yeah, we've had snow, we've had tough grain, we've had green crops, and it works flawlessly. You know, we're getting to a point now where you literally don't know it's running. So I feel like that was probably our big concern, was just the operation of it. How was it going to go? And that's working well. Field results are showing up well, so it's full steam ahead for us.
I know you showed Mitchell and I pictures of the CLC trial, and it's in peas this year, so obviously, you know, the least competitive crop that we've got, and it was unbelievably clean. It was amazing. But there was can you comment just on any weeds that you've seen kind of escape through the weed seed management with the seed terminator?
Yeah, so things like thistle, Thistle will never be on label for the seed terminator. That's why there was one of those patches there in the seed terminator run. We had basically the only patch of thistle on that site was in there, but we're never going to get thistle just for the fact that it spreads on the ground for the most part. What else? Like, it's any of those weeds that grow pretty low to the ground. So, you know, your foxtails, they're a bit of a concern. But generally, they don't compete that well anyway. They sort of hang out down low in the crop. But for the most part, getting some pretty good efficacy on the kosher, especially when it's in the crop, because it grows more upright and you have more chance of collecting the seeds. It does a great job on wild oats as well, you know, apart from they drop their seeds, but they're just staying in their patch, right? But if we can get them in the mill, they're done. They're not being spread. Cleavers are a sitting duck. They sit up high, easy to collect. Good efficacy on mustards. Good efficacy on shepherd's purse. So just picture any weeds on your farm that generally have good seed retention. Most of the seeds are residing at least, you know, 5 or 6 inches off the ground. As long as you can get them to your combine, the mill technology is proven at weeds the size of kosher, and it doesn't get much smaller than that. So, yeah, it's working pretty well.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously herbicides have weeds that they're going to miss too. So $6 an acre for a pretty broad spectrum control method is pretty impressive.
Oh, I think so. You know, and even if you, let's just say I'm at 5 or 6 on our farm at 4,000 acres of combine with limited wear, but you're running 2,000 acres of combine. Now you're at that 10 or 11 bucks an acre. You know, that's still pretty reasonable. There's not too, apart from glyphosate, but that's, you know, to its demise, it's probably got too cheap and gets used too widely. And now look at it. But yeah, you got a tool that's non-chemical that's stopping these weeds from even existing in the first place. You know, you don't even get it. Like, you can go spray chemistry, but often the weed has to start growing before you can go spray it. Well, how much nutrients is that taking? How much water is that taking? You know, so I think it's, I honestly feel that it's a play here. And I just feel I'm so passionate about it because it's worked wonders in Australia to get some pretty problematic weeds under control, where we're in this unique opportunity here where we have a lot of our good modes of action, chemistry modes of action are still available to us. But if we can use this in conjunction with some harvest weed seed control, it just really opens up our window for future development in the space of, you know, whether it's breeding crops that are more competitive or a new chemistry. Everyone's waiting for the new silver bullet that's coming down the line, which it probably will, but we just don't know the time frame. It's just going to buy us time, and it's working. Like, just think about it logically. Like, why would we go to the trouble of collecting weeds with our combine headers and then just spreading them out perfectly with that chopper trying to hit that 35, 40 feet? We're just spreading the weeds out evenly across the field, ready to go next year. It just seems absolutely crazy to me.
Yeah, that's an interesting segue into my next question, actually, Josh. That 35 to 40 feet you get with the spread at the back end of the combine, that can be pretty significant. But we've talked prior to the podcast about some research that was done by Steve Shurtliff and Martin Entz back in the early 2000s, where they found that wild oats could be spread up to 145 meters from where it entered the combine. And you've talked about how the return auger can play a role in that. And would you mind running through that for us here on the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's the thing with the combine, right? Like, it's a brilliant piece of equipment. It's there to collect our cash that's sitting in the field and separates it out, puts the grain in the tank, spreads the straw, chaff evenly back on the field, ready to provide a blanket to conserve moisture, ready for next year. But that's the thing with it, is that on a combine, we've got two sieves. Like, there's two sieves in that separating compartment on the harvester because we can't sift all that grain out in one shot. If we can, well, we've got a pretty good harvester. We're moving along pretty well here. But the reality is we don't. We have a top sieve and a bottom sieve. So generally, material that's going over the top sieve, well, whether it's weeds or grain, we don't want, because if it's grain, obviously we're losing money. It's just going back on the ground, providing a weed for next year as well. But so generally, you know, that's happening pretty quick. I should back up a bit. So let's just start with the common. We've got coming in the front, we go through the rotor. So the rotor separating the grain from the chaff, getting it onto the sieving area. There's a chance there that we could lose some grain out the rotor and some weeds too. But just with the spreading mechanism of the rotor is that, or the combine spreading weeds, I should say, is that that's going to be pretty quick. we know that when we pull into the crop within sort of 10 meters, if we're striking that crop as we make our run in, we look in our mirrors and we've got straw flying out the back. That's happening pretty quick. So that process to me isn't going to spread the weed too far because it's so quick. It's like in and out, back in. So you're moving that patch a little bit, but not much. It's when it gets onto the sieving area, even if we do exit off the top sieve, well, that's going to be pretty quick too. So that shouldn't move the patch too much. It's the return part of the harvester where we fall through the top sieve. We don't quite make it through the bottom sieve and get onto the grain tank, but then we go back through the repeats where we get another shot to try and thresh the grain again. But then as it comes back into the harvester, you know, it's then entering onto that top sieve again, where there is a very good chance that it could fly off the top of the sieve and be spread. And this can go around and around and around. Like anyone that's driven a harvester, when you fly through a wild oat patch or a kosher patch or any weedy spot, look at your return monitor. It goes through the roof. Like it fills up and it doesn't just empty in the next 10 meters. Often it can take 100 meters or more before that'll actually finally clear itself out. But every time that the product material is going through that system, it gets an opportunity to hit that top sieve and be spread out the back of the combine. And that's where, yeah, I just feel that, you know, you insert harvest weed seed control and collecting any material that's going over that top sieve, even though, you know, we have some weeds that are going to shell and they're going to fall in their spot, they're going to maintain that patch. At least if we come through with harvest weed seed control now, we're really going to limit the spread of that patch, because as we just talked about, and the data that Steve Shirtliff's done back, like you said, in the early 2000s, the combines are brilliant machines at spreading weeds.
So I know you mentioned this the other day as well, but can you talk about how much of the wild oats you think will actually go through the combine versus shed out, like fall off before the combine even gets to it as we're going through the crop?
Yeah, it's all going to depend on what crop you're growing, how mature they are, when are you getting there with the harvester. But in my experience, obviously wild oats are maybe in a lentil or a pea crop, you're going to have a bit higher shelling just because they grow above and they're open to the wind versus say in a canola crop where they're a bit more protected. But on the flip side of that is often in your lentils and your peas, you can get in there quite a bit faster because they're such fast maturing crops and get more of them. So when I've jumped out and quickly looked, for the most part, I feel that for us, we're at least getting 50% of them. When I get out and look at my plant, if there's a wild oat plant, and I start counting the seeds and look at what percent have dropped out, I honestly feel that for us, we're right around that 50%. But we try pretty hard to, you know, when our crops are ready, we get going. And, you know, we're not there yet, but if we did have a field that was quite bad, we would make sure that we got there first. You know, we're not going to leave the dirtiest field to the end. We would get there first and try and get as much weeds as we possibly can into our header front and destroy them with a seed terminator. So yeah, it's going to depend on the crop, how fast you get out of the combine. But honestly, when it comes to wild oats, I reckon we're in that 50% range. I feel like we're getting 50% of them. And there's data out of Australia too that suggests that if you can just get 50% of a weed species, you can start turning it, you know, in the direction of dropping that population. It's sort of a magic number there. Don't quote me on it, but do some research. People could look at some harvest weed seed control research out of Australia. ARI's a really good resource out of Western Australia. Yeah, but anyway, I think we're around 50%. So I feel that is a win.
Yeah, for sure. It makes quite a difference to get that much weed seed control. So one of the things that you mentioned earlier was barley as a potential. I think you'd mentioned that it was a herbicide group of its own in terms of managing weeds. To me, if you can get your barley in the ground early and say you're growing a malt variety, one of the things we often talk about is getting that barley in the bin early so you can preserve that quality. So maybe harvesting at 16 to 18% moisture. So that leads me to a couple of questions with the seed terminator. Well, first, does going into a crop with that higher moisture content cause any issues with the seed terminator?
Nah, not with barley. Like literally barley, there's almost hardly any material other than grain. You got a few backbones, you know, but there's stuff all that's coming over the sieve. Yeah, I don't notice anything when it comes to issues with barley when it, yeah, on a Terminator. It's one of the, another reason why I love that crop so much. But yeah, it's just, you know what it's like. You know, you got, there's just no husk. There's just basically a backbone. There's just very little to go through the Terminator. So, but yeah, like you were saying there, Mitchell, on the fact that it's we can get in early. It's a super competitive crop and we can harvest it early. And the other thing too that barley's got going for it, as much as we don't swathing, like swathing, but often we do need to swath our barley just to get it matured, get it through the combine. But that's also giving us an ability to get into that field maybe 7-10 days ahead of the regular straight cut harvest. Well, Brianne Tideman's done some work on looking at wild oat seed loss, and 10 days could be huge when it comes to collecting more wild oats. Like if we can go in there with a swather, and it doesn't just become a pain job because we're swathing barley to harvest it. Now it can be, we're actually maybe going to get another 20, 30, 40, 50% more wild oats into that swath that we can run through our Terminator. You know, there's a two-edged sword to it. So I feel that, yeah, barley's a heck of a play on the, like we say, great competitive crop. We can get in early and there is that play to swath it to help with maturity, but also collect weeds and crush them.
Yeah, for sure. I think that leads to another question, maybe before I get into my other one that I had initially, was whether there's issues in tough conditions at harvest and other crops.
Not now, really. We've put it through its paces, 20% canola, although we didn't do too much of that because that's a bit crazy. But, you know, we got pushed into it there a few years ago and it was just a tough harvest, you know. It was just tough. But, no, the only issue that the seed Terminator faces is, like, it's a multi-stage hammer mill. Like, you are trying to push material through small holes, you know, fine tolerances, and it has to be, because let's just think about a kosher seed and how small that is. And to get 98% or more kill of that weed, then it must be some pretty fine holes in there to crush this. So the big issue with it is if you have any green weed material, you know, if you're getting too much grass green kosher, or, you know, just the real green sort of sappy stuff, it just starts to build up on the mills and the outside of the casing and just blocks the airflow. But since we've played around with a few different mill ideas now, Terminator have got a mill they call a high capacity mill, which fits to any of their models. And it reduces the kill rate a bit back to sort of 90-odd%, but that literally goes through anything. It just basically, what it's enabling us to do is just get high airflow through the mill, a positive beta bar on the outside, just to keep the outside of the mill casing, you know, clear, and a higher wind exit speed just to get stuff moving through it. But yeah, no, honestly, you also just try and remember that basically what's going through the seed Terminator is the stuff that you're pushing through the concave and the separated grates. So it's pretty small stuff. Often in really, really tough conditions, you'll start, you know, blocking up your concave and separated grates. Well, that's a problem as well. So yeah, for the most part, we got to a point now with good mill options, plus a really good internal baffle system to make sure that we're keeping the straw component separated from the chaff component, that, yeah, I don't feel that we're going to have any real conditions that's going to slow us down now on the Terminator. It'll be, you'll be blocking up your combine on other fronts before the Terminator is going to stop.
That's awesome to hear that you've got that kind of flexibility at harvest. The other one, yeah. I think you alluded to it a bit, Josh, was, you know, you mentioned swathing, but even if you're straight cutting your barley, you know, with early maturity of the crop and maybe some early seeding and an early harvest, get that 60-80% moisture, would you say that there's a good potential to capture wild oats before seed shed, so that you can actually increase your control with the Terminator?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I couldn't, it all depends on when you're going to get there, but I guess the reality, especially with malt barley or just barley in general, because, you know, it's a crop that you don't want to let sit out just for the sake that if you get a hot wind and you can break the heads off and you're losing money. But it's just a crop that we generally pay the utmost attention to come harvest time, and when it's ready, we're going to go. So just for those factors is going to help us with collecting as many weeds as possible, just because when the crop's ready, we're going to get in there. So that's going to help on the seed shed issue as well.
So why did you choose the Seed Terminator versus other options or brands?
Oh, it's pretty easy, really. They're literally the only company that's been, well, the founder, Nick Berry. It's all he's done his whole life. He went to the University of Adelaide, got a degree in engineering, did a PhD at the University of South Street, I think it was. But anyway, his PhD was, okay, there's that Harrington seed destructor, the toe-behind job. Go and incorporate it into the back of the combine. So that's what he went about doing for 4 or 5 years. Was, okay, we'll get this toe-behind machine and we're going to incorporate it into the back of the harvester. So he's basically the only guy that's playing in this space at the moment that's spent his whole life on it. Yeah, so it was pretty easy decision. I feel that they're the best in the game at the minute. They've got a lot of money in investing in research and development, which we've seen firsthand here. We basically were one of the first machines to venture outside of Australia into some pretty different harvest conditions to what we see in Australia. Just a huge amount of research and development, and just power behind the scenes to just make it work. You know, we've had some challenges here in those early years, and just how far we've come in such a short period of time with it is really a testament to Nick and his crew.
Yeah, the technology has definitely come a long ways, and it's a lot more easy to use, user-friendly now, I think. So we've got some great info here. Thank you so much for jumping on this podcast with us again. But yeah, thank you. Is there anything else you want to mention about the Seed Terminator before we wrap up?
No, just keep watching the space. And if anyone out there has got some questions on how it works or whether it could be a fit on their farm, please don't hesitate to get in touch with me some way or another. I'd love to talk about it. I really am passionate about harvest weed seed control in North America here. I just feel that we're such an opportunity to get on this and fine tune it and get on our farms and, you know, not even, you know, because we've got big herbicide resistant issues coming, but just as an ability to maybe even cut some chemicals, you know, in certain places, go back to some more patch management and just have a play for stopping the spread and just reassessing. So yeah, just anyone's interested, at my phone's always on, please get in touch with me.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Wheat Profit, brought to you by the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission. For more information on wheat agronomy, marketing, advocacy, and research, please go to saskwheat.ca or follow us on Twitter, where we are @saskwheat.